My name is Stephanie, and I am a recovered alcoholic, an abstinent food addict, and a lovingly detached Al-Anon. And that is because of the grace of God and because of showing up. Not much, I can't take much credit. Really, God does all the work, and I just get on my knees and ask Him to take away the obsession and the compulsion. Okay, let's sit back. I ask all of you to stay muted at all times. And then at 8:45, you'll have a chance to ask questions about the material that we're studying tonight. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. And we say the set-aside prayer, which is not written exactly as we say it from the big book, but there's a lot of lines in the big book that say basically this. God, I ask you to help us to set aside everything we think we already know about the step being studied tonight, about ourselves, about our disease, and about our recovery, so that we may have a new experience. And that, God, that we can stay humble and teachable. And that you can teach us tonight what you want us to learn. And, God, most especially, help us to set aside what we think we know about you, God, so that we could learn more about you tonight. Amen. So we are on Bill's story. And we are on page 15. We're on the last paragraph on page 15. And Bill is talking about we, Bill, his wife, and the first alcoholics that he had helped. We commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. Okay, I want to talk about that. We individually, this is a big book step study group. You have a meeting list. And I'm going to diverge a little. If you need a meeting list, you email thrsbbss.gmail.com. That's thrsbbss.gmail.com. You email that and say, I would like a phone list. Then you write your name, your phone number, your cell number, your email address, your time zone, and your cell phone carrier, and the best time to reach you. And you will get a meeting list. Now, we started with 180 people, and there was a lot of people who started who don't come anymore. So, yes, you're going to call people on that list. And remember, it's all addictions, too. And you may call yourself, you may call someone and identify yourself as an alcoholic, and they may not call you back because you're not an alcoholic, which is not good fellowship, but That's the way it is. I did a workshop in Orlando, and a lot of people from our Thursday night group came, and they said, I call people and they don't call me back. Well, pat yourself on the back for calling people. But you keep calling and you will build up a fellowship of big book people. And I will tell you that each week we get new people on, and people who have been on don't come on. That's just the nature of 12-step recovery. New people come and other people drop out. So build up a fellowship around you. That's what Bill did. That's what he said. We commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. I have done 17 or 18 months now with the Monday and Tuesday group. Now, we started with 50, 60 people on each group, and we're down to 20, maybe even less on Monday and Tuesday. But it doesn't matter. I have very, very good friends now on Monday and Tuesday. And the other people have good friends too. And it doesn't matter whether people come or go. Just keep reaching out, and you will build up a fellowship, a big book step study fellowship. So when you get to step four and are writing your inventory, you will have people who are writing along with you, and they will encourage you. And then when you get all the way up to step eight and nine, there'll be even fewer of you, and you will encourage each other to do your eight and nine. So make those outreach calls. You know, I encourage you to make a minimum of three or four outreach calls every single day, not including your sponsor. And make one of those a big book step study person. Make a new call to somebody every day and build up a fellowship of big book people. They all know the value of having a community, a fellowship. And you are going to need these people when you start writing the fourth step. And you are definitely going to need them when you get up to steps 6 and 7, 8 and 9. Okay? All right. The joy of living. And that's what we have when we stick and do all 12 steps. The joy of living. That's a promise. We get the joy of living. We really have, even under pressure and difficulty. Now, you can put beside that a promise. Even under pressure and difficulty, we have a joy of living. And I can tell you that that's true. I have had the most wonderful, wonderful vacation down here. And I had come to make amends with my 90-year-old dad. And a lot of people would think that that's difficulty. But I came with the right attitude. And I also had a big disappointment today. My husband was supposed to come down, and he canceled on me. And, you know, I'm not going to lie and tell you I'm not really, really heartbroken about it. But, you know, I still have the joy of living. I'm still showing up tonight. You know, yeah, I'm heartbroken, you know. But what am I going to do about it? Well, I'm still going to weigh and measure my food. You know, I'm still going to do my service. I still did my quiet time. And I still had a really awesome day today. I still have the joy of living, even under pressure and difficulty. I went to a meeting. I actually went to three meetings today, one face to face and two phone, and now I'm doing this. And I had some fun, and I was with program people. So this way of living, living the steps as they're laid out in the big book, when they say we have a joy of living, it's not a false promise. It's a true promise. It does not mean that you're going to get life on your terms. It means we're going to get life on God's terms, and that we're going to be able to ride life just like a boat rides the waves. It goes up and down, up and down. Okay, next. I have seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted. Now, these are all promises. I've seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Is that where you want? Do you want to be one of those families? I heard at an Al-Anon meeting today that when one person in the family starts getting well, the rest of the family gets well. And that's true. I've seen that. That's my family is living example of that. My family is that. I got into recovery, and the rest of my family is getting better. My son followed me into recovery, and my husband's getting better. My father, my 90-year-old father's getting better. He actually told me he loved me. So do you want to be the one in your family that's getting better, that's going to lead your family, like he said, to set their feet in a path that really goes somewhere? That can be you. You can be the leader of your family and a path that's going in positive direction. Have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted. Do you want your domestic situation righted? I know I want mine righted. I've made a commitment that I'm going to 90 Al-Anon meetings in 90 days. And I'm doing not for my husband. I'm doing it for me. Because I'm really upset about what happened. And I do not want to take it out on him. So I have made a commitment for myself and my recovery that I'm going to 90 Al-Anon meetings for 90 days. And I have basically gone to an Al-Anon meeting just about every day since I've been in Florida. I haven't gone to a face-to-face one. I've gone to one on the phone. So I want to set my domestic situation right. And it's up to me to set it right with my righted attitude. So do you want to set your domestic, your marital situation right? Well, this process can do it. Because the big book step study process, the steps as they're laid out in the big book, is we don't look at anybody else and what they're doing and not doing. We look at ourselves. It's all about what we're doing. Are we right with God? Okay, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. Wow, what a promise. Feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I have seen men and women come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and community. Business and professional men and women have regained their standing. Do you want these promises in your life? You got to put down your addiction. And you got to pick up these steps and do 1 through 12 Not just 1, 2, and 3. Not just 1, 2, 3, and 4. But you have to do 1 through 12. Then you get these promises. Okay. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. Wow. Scarcely any form of trouble. So that takes all of our self-pity, and we can just throw that in the trash can. Because any trouble you got, or any misery you got, Bill Wilson and the first 100 alcoholics, they saw it. They already saw it. And it can be turned around if you have the right attitude and are willing to work for it. You can't sit on the couch and do nothing and say, okay, I want everything to change. No, you have to suit up and show up. Step zero is put your addiction down. And then you got to work the steps. Go to your fellowship for your addiction. Do your 7 tools to keep the addiction down every day. Do the soul work that I give you. Do service, which Bill had talked about, which we talked about last week. Work with others, that's the service work. And do these steps 1 to 12. Okay, and what promises you get? It's a small price to pay. Okay, in one Western city and in its environs, there are 1,000 of us and our families. Well, there's millions now. We meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship. Okay, turn to page 16. They seek. At these informal gatherings, one may often see from 50 to 200 persons. Now, that's true. On New Year's Eve, my friend whom I stayed with in Orlando, we went to an AA meeting and dance. And there had to be at least 200, maybe even 300, 400 people. All dressed up. It was a masquerade. And they handed out masks, and it was a ball. It was absolutely a blast. They had this wonderful keynote speaker. So, and, you know, you can go to any meeting of your fellowship. And some big book step study meetings have hundreds of people in it. So that's what they're talking about. It's growing. 12-step recovery fellowships are growing by leaps and bounds. Okay. And An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Remember this when a thought of going back and using your addiction. Bring to mind this sentence. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. I could talk the rest of the whole time on being an unlovely creature. I was awful when I was active. Oh, absolutely awful. I was like inches away from being homeless and totally divorced by my family. I had lost jobs, relationships. I certainly was an unlovely creature when I was drinking and drugging and binging. Okay. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. And anyone who has been a sponsor for any length of time knows exactly that these adjectives are very true. We can just change the word. Our sponsorship of them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. Most of my experience as a sponsor is strenuous. I work very, very, very hard with my sponsees. I have been fired by sponsees and told that I'm too intense. And I take that as a compliment. I do. They're not saying it as a compliment, but I take it as a compliment. I take my recovery very, very, very seriously. And I take it too seriously for some sponsees. And they fire me. And that is perfectly acceptable. When I'm fired for that reason, I accept it very graciously. Because they're not where I'm at, and that's perfectly okay. They don't have to be. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, this almost killed me. Alcohol almost killed me. Food almost killed me. And codependency almost killed me. So I have to take it very seriously. And I have to sponsor very seriously. So I do sponsor very strenuously. Sometimes, you know, things with us between me and a sponsee are funny. I try to be more lighthearted. I try. I don't think anybody would ever accuse me of being, you know, very lighthearted. I'm very loving. But I think I'm a little too intense to be called comic. But anyway, tragic, yes. This disease causes a lot of tragedies, a lot of tragedies. And I've had a lot of sponsees stop calling me, and I'll call them, and they won't pick up, and they don't call me back. And it's tragic. I don't know what's happened to them. I just gather that they're back out there. It's very tragic. This is a deadly disease. All of them. All the addictions. They're deadly. Anything that comes between you and God is a deadly disease. Because we have a soul. And it's meant for God of your understanding. And if we put anything else in there, food, drugs, shopping, people, alcohol, sex, TV, books, I mean, you know, anything we put in there before the God of our understanding, we're gonna lose the joy of living. And life is going to lose its meaning. And we're going to be depressed and unhappy. Very tragic. Very tragic. So Bill knew what he was writing. Bill knew. He had sponsored a lot of guys. He knew that if you really were serious about your program, that's, you know, it is strenuous. And you really have to try to be lighthearted. You do. Okay. Listen to this. One poor chap committed suicide in Bill's home. Oh, my goodness. That's heavy. He could not or would not see our way of life. But just think of it this way. He took a gun or a knife to himself. But if you leave your fellowship, say you're an alcoholic and you leave AA, aren't you committing suicide every single day? If you're a food addict and you leave your food recovery, aren't you committing suicide? You're going to have diabetes, heart disease. Same with the alcoholic or the drug addict. Or, you know, we have somebody on here that's an under-earner. You don't work your program, you're going to work yourself to death. Same with the workaholics. You're just going to work yourself into the ground. Think of the people who have to, who love you, who have to watch you do that. Brutal. You know, so that's why, you know, some of us go to Al-Anon. You know, we go to Al-Anon because we love people who have been affected by alcoholism. You know, not all the people, you know, I love people who have been affected by alcohol that don't drink. You know, they have other addictions. You know, it manifests itself in other ways. But they're still killing themselves. And it's brutal when you love them and you're watching them. So they're committing suicide. They're just not taking a gun, but they're doing it slower. So I need this program. I don't take it lightly at all. I don't take any of it lightly. Because I am not going to commit suicide. I am going to go back to this page and say, I am going to have the joy of living, as Bill said. I'm going to the top of this. I commence to make many fast friends, and I am going to have a fellowship grown up among me. I am going to have the joy of living. And I hope that you want to claim that yourself. Over here, I am going to take sponsorship seriously. And I am going to take my recovery seriously. And I am not going to commit suicide. And I love that Bill is very, very blunt about the consequences of this disease, the isms. Because I need to stay out of denial. And as your sponsor, I am your Big Book Step Study sponsor, I am going to say to you, get out of denial. You are on a life and death mission. Doing these steps as they're laid out in the Big Book will get you out of denial and get you into reality and get you to see where you need recovery. And then you will do that work in steps 2 and 3. You will bring those areas of your life where you are slowly committing suicide and robbing yourself of the joy of living. And you will bring them to steps 1 first. You admit you are powerless over them. Then you will bring them to step 2. Step 3, and then you will do inventory on them And then you will bring them through the steps and end up having the joy of living. You will have let go and let God. And you can have the joy of living also. In every area of your life, physical, emotional, and spiritual. There doesn't have to be any area of your life that you can't have the joy of living. No, every day isn't the best day in the world. Today wasn't the best day. I was very sad today, but you know what? I still have the joy of living. I still have the joy of living. You still have your feelings. The good news is when you're cleaned and sober and work in the steps, you have your feelings. You deal with your feelings, and then you let them go. That's a recovered person. An unrecovered person, the feelings that you have deal with you, not the other way around. A recovered person, you feel your feelings and you deal with them. The old me, I had a feeling and it dictated my whole day. It told me to eat and binge and drink and act out and be miserable. Not anymore. My feelings don't own me. But the feelings are part of me, too. So you don't want to deny your feelings. You just don't want to let your feelings rob you of your joy of living. Okay, so let's finish this out. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness. Circle deadly earnestness. There has to be deadly earnestness in your attitude towards your recovery. As your sponsor, that's what I have towards my own recovery and towards yours. I am not your addiction sponsor. You don't call me and talk to me about your food. You don't talk to me about your day-to-day. If you want to talk to me or need to talk to me, you talk to me about doing this process. I answer questions about the Big Book Step Study. That's my role in your life. I am your Big Book Step Study sponsor. I'm not your program, your food, your alcohol, your drug, your clutter, your all of that. That you go to your program. I only answer questions about doing this process. Very clear boundaries about a Big Book Step Study sponsor. I guide you through this process. Each week, I tell you what the book means. I tell you what the book tells you to do. And then I guide you through that. And that's the role of a Big Book Step Study sponsor. And I am deadly earnest about how you do this. Because I'm deadly earnest about it. This is a life or death process. Now, you can't do it wrong. The only way you can do this Big Book Step Study process wrong is if you don't do it. And I am praying for all of you every day that you don't quit. And that people will say, well, I went away and then I got sick and I didn't do the assignments. And I'm not going to tell you not to do them because I wouldn't be giving them to you. But if you fall behind, what you need to do is just do the next week. And as you get the time, go back to the ones that you have missed. Yes, you need to go back, but you don't need to go back right now. You're already overwhelmed. Just do the next week. Just do, like, do, if you've missed, like, the last two, do tonight. And make sure you do the questions that I'm going to give you tonight. Then, when you don't feel overwhelmed, the questions were up on the website. Not last week because I didn't give them to Linda. And I'm not going to give you a question tonight because I'm still not at home and I don't want to get bogged down. So you'll have a week to get caught up, all of you people who haven't done all the questions. You'll have a week to get caught up. But don't let your disease use the excuse that you missed a couple of weeks. Just do the next week. Okay. Okay. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Faith. Faith in what? One, faith in the 12 steps. Faith in your fellowship. Faith in your 12 steps. Faith in your fellowship. And most especially, faith in the higher power or God of your understanding. Has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. That's a very powerful statement. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia, and I believe that's true. Utopia means basically heaven on earth. And I found that myself from the day I walked into AA and OA 31 years ago. And then about 2.5 years later, I found Al-Anon. I have found heaven on earth. Every time I'm in a meeting, I feel safe and protected. We have it with us right here and now at each meeting. Each day, my friend, Simple Talk, which he's talking about Ebby, when he gave Bill Wilson the talk about how he had found God and he's trusting God instead of drinking, in our kitchen multiplies itself, the 12-step, Ebby 12-step Bill. And that's what I'm doing with you, and that's what you do with your individual addiction fellowship. You put out the hand and tell people your story. The widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill towards men and women. That's what we are doing when we share our experience, strength, and hope. And do a 12-step call anywhere, everywhere. We are putting in the earth a little more peace and goodwill. We are making amends to God in the world for our bad behavior when we were in our addiction. It's really a wonderful, wonderful feeling to know that we're making amends for all our active years by putting a little peace and goodwill into the world, by just sharing our experience, strength, and hope. Every time you speak at a meeting and you speak positively about your recovery and you're not pissing and moaning, every time you help a newcomer, help a long-timer, help anybody, you are putting a little more peace and goodwill on the earth. And it says, Bill Wilson, co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. And that is Bill's story. Next week, we will be doing step one in the AA 12 and 12. So if you don't have an AA 12 and 12, make sure you get it. And we will be doing the foreword to the AA 12 and 12 and then reading step one there. So get yourself an AA 12 and 12 along with the big book because we will be reading them. Okay. April 7th. On the Monday group at 2:30, we will be starting all over again with step one out of the big book and the AA 12 and 12. We will be recording it, and the questions will be going up on the website. So that will be April 7th, so you can start telling your friends one-on-one. And if anyone's so inclined, they can make flyers, and Linda, if you're on the line tonight, you can put it up on the website that April 7th we'll be starting a new Big Book Step Study workshop Mondays at 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we want to get that word out that we'll be starting again, and it will be the Big Book and the AA 12 and 12. And Monday and Tuesday nights now are doing step 11. So it's Monday at 2:30 and Tuesdays at 8 o'clock. So if, just to let you know where we're at with them, we are on step 11 and all are welcome. And the website, if you go to Google and do Stephanie's Big Book Step Study, it's STEPHANIE apostrophe S space BIG space BOOK space STEP space STUDY. Stephanie's Big Book Step Study. If you Google that, it will come up, and they have the recordings, and they also have the writing assignment. And you get a reprieve. There is no writing assignment for this week. I gave you quite a big writing assignment for last week, and I'm going to give you a little reprieve. So if some of you have not done all of them, you can go back and get caught up. And if you're all caught up, you can write on what does step one mean to you. We admitted we were powerless over, and whatever your addiction is, alcohol, food, clutter. I have decided that in my all addiction workshops, I'm going to put, we admitted we were powerless over dishonesty. Because I think that really sums it up. And it all stems from dishonesty. And then our lives have become unmanageable. I guess for a couple of minutes I want to... The second part of the first step, that our lives have become unmanageable, that's when you have abstinence and sobriety. The first half of the first step is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Let's just take alcohol for the moment. You're powerless over it. And so you have to have complete abstinence. And for a food addict, I believe that you need to weigh and measure your food and not eat anything that you know once you start you can't stop. You know, that's what the doctor's opinion is all about. You can't eat anything you're allergic to. So, you know, clutter, you have to declutter. You just have to do it because, you know, you're powerless over, you know, cluttering. So you have to declutter and keep it decluttering one day at a time. But your life is unmanageable. That's talking about, let's just take decluttering because that seems like a concept that your house is completely decluttered. Then it's completely decluttered. So you can't blame your unmanageable life on your clutter. Like the alcoholic is now sober, but his life is unmanageable. And we're going to get to the bedevilments. But he can't keep a job. He can't be in an intimate relationship. He's irritable and unreasonable. That's unmanageability. And that's why you have to, that's what we call dry drunk. They're sober. You're sober. You're abstinent. You're clean from your drugs. But you are unmanageable. Your life is unmanageable. Your emotions are unmanageable. And that's why you need to go on to the second step. Came to believe in a power greater than the self. So if you're all caught up, this is not an official writing, but if you are, and you would like to do a writing assignment, write on the two parts of step one. We admitted we were powerless over, and put your addiction, dash. Dash means end of thought, a new thought. Our lives have become unmanageable. So you admit that you're powerless, the drug is down. With the drug down, your life is unmanageable. If with the drug down, your life is not unmanageable, then you're not a real alcoholic. You're either a hard drinker or a moderate drinker, which we'll go over in There Is a Solution. But there's three types of drinkers or eaters or whatever in the big book. There's a moderate and a hard. And when you put it down and your life isn't unmanageable, then you're not a real addict. You're not a real alcoholic. But if you put it down and don't have to do the rest of the steps, then you're a real addict. And I know I'm a real addict. And I had to do these steps. Because my life is unmanageable when I put the substances down. That's why I always went back to the food. My life is unmanageable. Okay, any questions about the material that I went over?